League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
All right, everybody, we're back. I am Jay Flemma, and you're listening to Jay Flemma Sports Report on Golf News Net and iHeartRadio. All right, everybody, we have a bonus segment for you now, an additional little Christmas present under the tree. Since we're closing out the year in golf, we're going to begin the season in skiing. And so we are going to bring back one of our very favorite guests. He is both a pioneer and a Hall of Famer as one of the greatest extreme skiers in the history of the sport. Please give a warm Jay Flemma Sports Report welcome to Dan Egan.
Jay, how you doing, my friend? How's everything, dude?
I'm always better when you come on the show, Dan. How about yourself?
Jay, I'm sitting out here in Montana, and we had a real Montana day here at Big Sky. We had clear blue skies and nice, soft, carvable western snow. It was amazing.
All right. Well, since you are out west, let's start with how the west is looking for the ski season. So I'm hearing that there is excellent snowfall everywhere and that the weather has been phenomenal, both on the east coast and the west coast. We'll get to the latest update east in a minute, but you've got intel on us for generally how the season is starting out on the western side of the country. So what can you tell us first about what's happening in, say, Montana and Idaho and Washington?
Well, I think, you know, the west, everybody's happy, Jay. There's snow on the ground and ski areas are opened and they're opening up more terrain really every week. The Northwest has a bit of snow, but the sweet spot has been Montana down into Jackson in Wyoming and a little and into Idaho as well. Targhee is skiing really good. So that's really looking strong. California had its first snow, which is amazing. Of course, when that storm blows in off the Pacific and comes into Tahoe and up into Mammoth as well, that sets up for a really good season. I think the story of the day is how good Colorado has started. You know, there, Summit County and Vail, Beaver Creek, Aspen, Keystone, Loveland, Copper, all with lots of snow. It started all the way back in Thanksgiving. So they're off to a really good start. Nice, strong base. And of course, the World Cup, Birds of Prey. The women are racing out there right now, Jay.
Fantastic news on that. Do you have any intel on how the races are going?
Well, you know, that's the first time ever that the women have run the Birds of Prey. Typically, it's a men's downhill Super G and GS, but the women are carving it up. And the story of the week is Lindsey Vonn's comeback. She foreran the Birds of Prey downhill, had a strong time. Just days prior to that, she raced in a international FIS giant slalom race, finishing in the top 25, which is an amazing start. She was right in there with the best in the world. So I think that's a strong story. Everybody's going to be watching and hoping all the best for Lindsey Vonn.
That's an enormous story, actually, for her to come out of retirement and be able to, after all this time, still compete at the very highest level. Plus, she's one of the most popular sports figures in all of America, not just in winter sports. Her popularity has crossed over and made her an American household name and superstar.
Oh, she's an icon. And, you know, look, we all love the comeback story. All of us, as we get a bit older, in the back of our minds, we think, oh, why wouldn't I love one more shot at being in the starting gate or one more chance to go up and swing the bat? And here, when you have an athlete doing it, I think it builds a lot of excitement.
And of all the athletes to do it too, okay, the thing that everyone loves about Lindsey is that she lives to the nth degree. She's always on 100 all the time, which means we're either going to see a record race or we're going to see one hell of a wipeout.
We're on the same page with that, Jay. I mean, look, she's got a knee replacement, and this is amazing news for anybody out there with an artificial hip, artificial knee, or any joint for that matter, to see an athlete come back and compete at the highest level. It just lifts all our spirits that we're all can get in the gate one day again.
Yeah, and that's the wondrous part about skiing too, okay, is the energy that we all get from each other. Yes, sometimes we get it from the pros watching them. I still get chills watching my boy Alberto Tomba come bombing down the hill in highlight reels. And we all cherish our shared history. But best of all about our sport is it doesn't have to be Lindsey Vonn, it doesn't have to be Dan Egan. It can be the guy you're riding the chairlift with for the first time that becomes your new lifelong friend, okay? Or the pretty girl you got on the chairlift with that the next thing you know, you're wining and dining her at Waterville Valley. The camaraderie of our sport is equaled only by golf.
Well, there you go, Jay. I'm going to start skiing with you more often.
Well, I hope we get a chance to do that soon. And I want to do that vicariously right now, though. You have always been an enormous proponent of Big Sky. Why don't you take a couple of minutes to give us a big time tour around the mountain?
Well, I think that's, it's a great spot, right? Because really, Big Sky represents everything that a West Coast ski area should be. It's off in the middle of the of scenery that you can only imagine. It's got a huge summit, Lone Mountain, just kind of looming over the town, and you see it from every aspect of the ski hill. And Big Sky has something for everybody, right? It has beautiful groomers. Green and blue groomers. It's got glades. It's got moguls. And of course, we ski off Lone Peak with where we can ski the North Summit Snowfield. We can go down Liberty Bowl, which was fantastic today. And of course, for those seeking the adventure, the Big Couloir, the Big C, as we call it, that's 1,500 vertical feet through the rocks that you'll never forget.
How narrow is the couloir?
Well, today, with the beginning of the year, it's quite narrow up there, my friend. It's probably 3, 4 ski lengths wide in some places. Of course, over the course of the winter, it fills up. And as it fills up, it sort of starts to get a little flatter, so to speak, very steep, but less concave. So it's got a changing personality. And one thing that Big Sky is really known for is wind, and wind moves snow. So we get a lot of beautiful windblown days, and particularly the couloir will get filled up and wind buffed and be some beautiful skiing in there.
About how steep a grade is the descent? About what degree pitch?
Well, right off the top, of course, if we were golfers, we'd call it the pro tee. If you're going
Right.
to if you're
The
going to drop
tips.
in, if you're going to drop in off the pro tee, it can be 50 degrees up there, which is steep. But
For
that
about
was,
how long an extent would it extend for 50 degrees?
well, that if you dropped in off that section, it's steep, I would say, for 30 yards. But if you come in from the lower tee, which generally that's how I bring my clients in, you're kind of coming in at the end of that pitch, and it's probably mellowing out to, more like high 38, 40 degrees, 42 degrees. And let me tell you, that is steep enough. One thing, I love a classic couloir because the walls of stone on either side of the snow, it's very magentic, right? It really, really sets the stage. And it's also a very safe place to be because you're not going to fall off a cliff or anything like that. You're going to, if you happen to take a Dixie, so to speak, Jay, and do a little bit of a twist or a tumble, you're going to end up okay because that you're going to go down the con follow the path of the couloir. So it's not as in, some people really play that up a little bit too much. I like it. It's an amazing spot to be. What the really special thing about the Big Couloir here in Big Sky, Montana, is that you can only ski it two at a time. You basically ski it one at a time. We don't want two people in the couloir at once. We don't want anybody falling on top of another person. So what that means is we don't have moguls in the couloir because the traffic is by design less. So it's a smooth surface and it's a run you never, never forget.
Would you find similar conditions at the famous Corbett's Couloir over at Jackson?
Well, Jackson, you know, the Corbett's has its own challenges. The entrance is quite steep, and there's really very limited tees to play off of. You really got to drop in on the pro tee. But the Corbett's opens up quicker and becomes wider. It's not as steep in the gut. And so I don't think Corbett's is as technical top to bottom, but the top of Corbett's is extremely technical. And you know, it's a thrill, but they don't limit the number of people that go into it. That's why you have some ruts forming and moguls in certain parts of Corbett's.
And what about the fact that when you do enter, you got a bit of a dipsy doodle to negotiate at the entry? You got a couple of really big turns that you have to hit, or else you're going to go tumbling ass over tea kettle.
Well, that's why people should take the Dan Egan steep camps to learn how to navigate those terrains. You know, that's what I spend. You know, look, once you get to a certain level in skiing, it's not a talent issue anymore. It's a strategy and tactics issue. It's where you go and why. It's how you, when you plant your pole, where you make your turn. And I think once you start breaking terrain down into sections, then skiing it is less intimidating and you don't have to take the Dixie into the rut. You can miss it. So, you know, I think a lot of times people are making mistakes and they think, oh, they're not skiing well. What was more of a tactical issue than a talent issue?
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. I love the way my brain, as I'm coming down the mountain, works almost like a computer, you know, between my eyes figuring out where I want to turn and my feet telling me where to go. You know, and I'll plan it out and as I'm on my way down. That's the most fun for me, especially when I'm in a mogul field trying to make that next turn.
Well, you are blessed, Jay, because I only have one brain cell. And so it doesn't react quite like that, you know. And some days I don't even bring it on the hill.
Some people say that sometimes it's the best way to ski. Now, where else have you been out west on this trip? Or is Big Sky your first stop?
Well, it's my first stop here. And you know, I'm excited, like I said, about Colorado and the good snow out there. So it might stop in for Summit County on the way to the holidays, you know, and then right after the holidays, Jay, I'm heading up to Revelstoke and going to go up to Northern British Columbia.
Totes jelly. That's on my list big time. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that's now new on the Indy Pass.
Oh, love that. Love that. Got to get out there. You know, the Indy Pass is a great way to access. You know, look, Jay, as you and I both know, the multi-resort passes, regardless of which one you have, are a great deal. And they make all the mountains accessible, whether it's an Epic Pass, Icon Pass, Indy Pass, Mountain Collective. It goes on and on. This is the way to ski now, and it's the way we all get to see the planet.
Yep, I agree with you on that. I personally am a big fan of the Indy Pass. That's what I have. And you just gave me the most excellent idea that I got to have Doug Fish come on the show sometime soon. So thank you for the reminder on that one. Now, while I got you here, you mentioned Grand Targhee before. Teach me something. While I was down in Argentina visiting Catedral and Chapelco, someone described it thusly. They said, well, if Catedral is Jackson Hole, then Chapelco is Grand Targhee. And what they meant by that is small, not a heck of a lot of number of trails, but boy, is it steep and boy, is it fun.
Yeah, I think Targhee is a ball. And what's so special about Targhee, again, location, right? It's remote. The scenery, beautiful. But Targhee is shaped like a basketball. And you ski three sides of that ball. And as you ski, it just kind of rolls away, rolls away, rolls away. It gets exciting, exciting, exciting. And then boom, it mellows out and you're back at the lift. And you can do that all the way, three quarters away around that ball. And you can ski the trees. You can ski the open fields. You can ski the Mogul runs underneath the lift. So it's super exciting. And it's also just so simple, right? I think there's only four or five lifts. They're all interesting to ski. And it's a place, you know, when I'm there, you know, you talked about meeting people on the chairlift and this and that, but Targi's a place where skiers and snowboarders gather. There's a real sense of belonging if you're skiing the gi, you know, you're looking at the Grand Tetons, right? So it's very majestic. Again, for me, I love the views of it. It puts me in a perspective and a paradigm of where I am. And so I'm a big fan of the gi, big fan.
How long will the season extend at the Gi? Can you get excellent snow as late as April, even May?
Yeah, well, they probably shut down, I think, by mid-April, end of April there, just on volume of people. But you know, look, spring skiing is beautiful, right? When it's warm out, and you and I with our big hair and headbands, and you know, and we break out the old neon clothing, Jay. We
Oh, I've
fit
got the old
right
anorak
in.
from the 80s. I've got
Yeah.
the Lands' End purple anorak. It's great on throwback day.
That's what I'm talking about right there.
Now, teach us a little bit. As I look at a map of Montana, I was hoping to see a way that I might be able to take a week and ski two places at once and really get a chance to go deep in both of them. Are there two big resorts in Montana, say Montana Snow Bowl? Is that close to Big Sky or perhaps Red Lodge? Is there any way conceivable, or are they all 7 or 8 hours away from each other?
You know that you're mentioning some classic resorts with some beautiful terrain, but I think if you really want to experience sort of a multi-resort experience, you know, one, Bozeman, you fly into Bozeman, simple, direct flights from a lot of different airports, and once you're in Bozeman, you're miles away from Bridger Bowl, right? And Bridger Bowl is as soulful as you get. It's old time skiing. It's lifts at access, amazing terrain, and there you have, you know, a lot of really die hard core Bridger Bowl skiers really getting after it. And of course, Big Sky is just, you know, 40 minutes down the road from Bozeman. So you come into Bozeman, you can ski Bridger, have an amazing experience. You can pop up here to Big Sky, more of a resort feel, more amenities, a little bit bigger place, slightly different feel. But you get that idea of, you know, Jackson Hole and Targhee, same sort of idea with Big Sky Bridger. And you really get the Montana experience. And in both places, you're going to be skiing with local Montanans and ranchers and that sort of thing.
I gotta say, you'll get a kick out of something I read today. I was reading a fascinating court case that took place in Montana, and they were talking about how in Montana, they are so into not having the government interfere in their lives at all that so many things that you wouldn't expect to be fundamental rights are actually fundamental rights in Montana. And they are protected jealously. Okay. And I got a kick out of reading the judge's decision when he said, "We Montanans don't like interference." So now that you talk about the various Montanans and skiing with them, there definitely is a Wild West outlaw, you know, kind of, you know, ride 'em out cowboy mentality out here. So I look very much forward to seeing Montana. Another place that I've got on my list, and I'm wondering if you have intel on, is a place very close to Sun Valley that you might be able to do a twofer like you were talking about. You ski Sun Valley and then you ski Soldier.
Well, there you have a lot of history if you're going to do that. You know, you have two of the most historic locations, probably in the U.S., quite honestly, both with really rich histories that tie us back into, you know, the 40s. And two resorts there where, you know, skiing was on the forefront, the first chairlift in America, you know, those sort of things. So, you know, that's a really cool experience. Idaho, amazing. Ketchum and Haley in Sun Valley, beautiful towns. And you know, you're talking about two locations there where, you know, people live and work. It's not so much vacation, so you get a real feel for the community there. And I like that about those resorts, and that a lot of working professional ski bums in those towns. And I love that.
Plus, you're going to have at Sun Valley in late March, they're going to have the FIS World Championships. And at Soldier, the United States team is practicing for their entire season. They've been using Soldier as one of their training grounds.
Well, there you have it, and that's a huge to have the World Cup finals at Sun Valley. That's a huge event for the U.S. is going to bring the best skiers from around the world. You know, we're seeing a lot of World Cup events, Jay, in America now. You know, of course, last year, Palisades Tahoe had World Cup event. Aspen's back in the game hosting World Cup events. Killington in the East, one of the biggest, most attended women's World Cup in the world. And of course, my hometown, Waterville Valley, hosting the best bump skiers in the world are coming in January 24th and 25th. So, you know, East Coasters can get up there and see, you know, today's top mogul skiers. The skiers, when you go to a World Cup event, Jay, you're seeing the skiers that are going to be in the Olympics.
Oh, no question.
These are going to be the skiers on TV. The skiers are going to be interviewed by NBC and winning the medals. And when you get to go there, you're seeing iconic events and performances.
And
So
you
I
can
always
reach out
encourage
and
it.
touch them. You know, you'll see them
Yeah,
in the hotel, you'll see them
that's it.
having dinner. Waterville is a wonderful place because it is so small and because the camaraderie there is so tight. You know, it's perfect timing, actually, that we're going to segue into the East Coast because I was going to get your intel on that next. And by the way, everybody, I'm Jay Flemma, and I'm talking with Dan Egan, skiing star extraordinaire, Hall of Famer, pioneer of extreme skiing, star, along with his brother John, of countless Warren Miller films, and now a great bon vivant of skiing and friend of the sport. Assisting us in so many different ways, helping out with the skiing writers board, doing a lot of instructing and writing two books too. They're out about 2 years now, but you've got 30 years in a white haze and you've got your updated book on skiing techniques.
Yeah, of course you can find 30 Years in a White Haze both on Audible and at any bookstore you walk into. And you know, look, I always tell people if you want to know the inside out of living the ski bum life, the blueprint is in 30 Years in a White Haze.
That's definitely true. That's definitely true. A lot of fun. Good page turner of a read. All right. So our beloved East Coast. Okay. I may live in Boise, Idaho now, but I will still defend the Eastern skiing. So let's start right in New Hampshire with your wonderful home of Waterville. Tell us about this freestyle championship that's coming in the end of January.
Well, Jay, it's huge, right? This is the second year in a row we're hosting the World Cup. The top skiers in the world, Mikhail Kingsbury, you know, the goat of mogul skiing, the Canadian who's won, I think, close to 68 or 70 mogul events. Nobody's won more moguls than this guy. He's unstoppable. And of course, the U.S. women's team is on fire. Jalen Koff, you know, from a skiing royalty family. Her dad, Scott Koff, we used to call him Robo Koff on the World Pro Mogul Tour, five-time World Pro Mogul champ. Her mom is three-time women's World Pro Mogul champ. And now you have Jalen Koff, a medalist and Olympian, ripping it up right there, top of the field, and a strong women's team, you know, really five skiers deep with the women. So that's exciting right there on the historic Bobby's Run at Waterville Valley in New Hampshire. It's classic steep pitch and a great place to view it. You know, it's so phenomenal. And as you know, Waterville Valley, the birthplace of freestyle skiing in America, the first place ever to host or hold a freestyle event in 1970, and the famed historic Wayne Wong finishing third with the story that he hitchhiked from Vancouver, British Columbia to Waterville Valley to compete and finishes the run on one ski. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. It's so classic, right? And so that's Waterville. But I got to tell you, the story of Waterville this year also is
Is
with the lack of snowmaking in October and early November, Killington didn't have enough space to open up a training run for the World Cup. So Waterville hosted Michaela Schifrin, and all the top teams from around the world came to Waterville to train for most of November. So we're walking around town with the top women skiers going through the village. You're hearing, you know, all Croatians and Austrians and French and, you know, the Swedes all talking in their language and tuning skis. And you're in the restaurants are full with the best women skiers in the world right there in Campton, New Hampshire, Waterville Valley, New Hampshire. I mean, this is phenomenal, right? So there's a real sense of history with Waterville. There's a real belonging to the best skiers, of course, to Tommy Corcoran, the founder of Waterville Valley and Olympian himself. So there's a lot of history there. But look, the East got off to the start that we all want in the East. You know, we have had a lot of snow really since right before Thanksgiving. It's been snowing. And so in my backyard, right before I left, it was a little bit over a foot of snow. Jay Peak, of course, the snow capital of the East.
100 inches.
Oh, my God. They're just killing it up there, you know, skiing the famed UN run and others and in the woods. JP.
Love UN mogul. Kits Woods. Holy.
It's amazing. And then, you know, think about it. Stowe, Vermont dropping on the front five. All of the front five runs opening. You know, that's unheard of in December.
Yep.
The GOAT and all that. So you look, we're off to a great start in the East. And of course, you know, look, weather in the East is up and down. We got some of the wet stuff, but hey, hold on. It got cold afterwards. You know what that means, Jay, for you and me?
Yes, ice.
it means base. It means
that
the
too,
woods.
That too.
It means it's going to firm everything up in the woods and it's going to lock it in. So when there's snow coming in after this storm. So that's good news for us in the East Coast. So one, we've got good snowmaking weather again. Two, we've got a base that's going to carry us through the holidays. Skiing is such a, in snowboarding, these are generational sports, right? These are family sports. This is where grandpa, mom, you know, son, grandson, they're all out there together. They're riding the lifts together, in the gondolas together. They're having hot chocolate. That's what makes it best. And that's what makes it great is all these resorts, whether we're talking the East or we're talking the West, they're accessible. They're easy to get to. You know, look, it's just up the highway. Come on out and ski and ride, right? Get outside. You have an 85% chance of having an awesome day if you just move in that direction.
Yes, that as I tell my friends, all you got to do, just get in the car and go. Let's go. Let's go. Get up, get out, good go.
That's it.
It's murder, okay? It's like herding cats, okay? My number one ski buddy, the first time we ever went out on a trip, he says to me, I hope you're not that guy that has to get up early and be the first one on the mountain. And of course, my response was, I hope you're not that guy that's going to make me miss first chair.
Buzzer to buzzer for you, Jay. Buzzer to buzzer.
We've worked out an arrangement that works. Okay, he gets up early and gets to bitch at me until we get to the mountain.
There you go.
I've got some good intel on a whole bunch of places here. I'm hearing wondrous things from Saddleback, and I've become a huge fan of Saddleback in Maine.
Yeah, I mean, look, Saddleback is a great spot, right? Again, you're going to have a feel at Saddleback that you're somewhere special, right? Because you're going to be, again, off in a beautiful location on your own, right? It's not a lot of traffic there. Doesn't have a resort feel, has a community feel.
Two hours in that forest full of those tall trees and tall timber. You get lost in it. You're out in the wilderness when you get to Middle Maine.
You know, look, you go there for the experience. You go there for the journey in, the experience there, and the journey out. And it doesn't disappoint to go to Saddleback. And the other thing you see when you see Saddleback is you see investment working. You're seeing a resort grow at the right pace. It's not overstated. They're not trying to be somebody they're not. And you get the sense that, yeah, this is what the future of skiing is going to be. And that's why you see so many people traveling so far to get there. It's a good product. You're not going to be disappointed.
And I always have a good time at Sunday River. I'm looking very much forward to going back and doing battle with Oz and with the Jordan Bowl.
Look, Sunday River, of course, one of the most premier snowmaking systems in the country. They're not afraid to throw it down. They open early every year. They put a great product on the trail. But also this year and into the future, they are upgrading lifts like you can't even count, right? There's a new lift out at Jordan Bowl. There's new lifts all around that place. So one, you have great terrain, you have great snow, and you have this state-of-the-art lifts. It's everything a resort should be in the East.
And you have the new Jordan Hotel, which is much finer accommodation than the old school one over by White Heat, I think is the further end, the opposite end, the western end of the mountain.
The summit. I still stay at the summit, Jay. I love the summit, and I love Jackson the development too. Here's the deal: you got to peel me out of the hot tubs either way. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know
absolutely.
What I'm saying?
Okay, the hot tub is an imperative, as is the beautiful girl, the oysters, and the champagne to go with it. Yes. Okay, if you're going to do the hot tub, you got to do it right, the James Bond style.
And I got to hang out with you more, Jay. I got to hang out with you.
Well, we will when we go to Whiteface, okay, I'm getting the jacuzzi suite in the Sarah Placid too. Okay, it's a huge-ass jacuzzi with a blue light in it. Back in my days when I was a music attorney, one of my number one clients, Ominous Sea Pods, we used to play two nights at the Waterhole Theater up there in Saranac Lake. I'd get the jacuzzi suite, okay, and we would kick it till 3 o'clock in the morning in the jacuzzi with the blue light, wake up in the morning with your beautiful girl, take her down to the Blue Moon Cafe for truffles and cappuccinos. Okay, and then during the day, if it was summer, the band would go boating or hiking, and if it was winter, we'd go skiing. 5 o'clock, we'd be back for sound check in the venue, and then we'd go find out where all the fans were getting together and crash the dinner party. So if they were hanging out at restaurant A, all of a sudden the boys would come rolling on in, signing autographs, taking pictures, cracking jokes, go back to the venue, play till 3 o'clock in the morning, do it all over again.
What's the title of your book, Jay? What are you going to call your book, man, when we get all these stories?
Well, you know, the golf book, I think I'm going to call Major Pain, because I think it'd be hilarious to have on the back of the spine, Major Pain, Jay Flemma. Then my puckish sense of humor getting the best of me. You know, I thought as a puckish one, perhaps Wait for Laughter.
There you go.
I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully I still have time for memoirs, but we're not done. So, I'm getting wonderful intel, like you said, from Jay Peak. What are your thoughts? I need intel from you on Sugarloaf. That's the one place in Maine I haven't been yet. What can you tell us about Sugarloaf?
Look, Sugarloaf is like Paradise Island. When you get to Sugarloaf, you arrive in a place that you can't believe you just discovered, right? You're in Kingsfield, Maine. You're driving down the road, and looming above the trees is the snowfields of Sugarloaf. You turn the corner and you start driving up the mountain road, and you're saying, how did I not know about this place? Why haven't I been here already? Of course, you would love it. Their golf course is sick. Beautiful golf there. It's amazing.
Sugarloaf and Sunday.
Yeah.
Right?
So, you know, you go up there and the skiing's phenomenal. Look, if you're a Sugarloafer, it's a badge of honor, you know? And if you go up and ski Sugarloaf, you've got to find and ski with the famed Mike Egan, my youngest brother, who's quite the character and quite the skier, you know, so you can book one of the most successful ski instructors up there at Sugarloaf. And, of course, his son, my nephew, very proud of Jack Egan, top 20 in the nation right now, and moguls of his own right, senior in high school at Carabasset Valley Academy. So He's got the gene. So I love
Valley Academy?
Carabas Valley, CVA.
Oh, Carabas.
Yeah. Sure. So home of Bodie Miller and Seth Westcott and other great athletes. So look, Sugarloaf is a place that must be on your list. It's like going to Portillo in Chile, right? It's that special. And it's the only place in the Northeast you can ski above tree line in the snowfields. It's a skiers and snowboarders mountain. It has hosted the U.S. National Alpine Championships multiple times. Lindsey Vonn, Bodie Miller, they've all raced there. It's got a long history, but really what it has, and this is what skiing Jay Peak and skiing any resort needs, it's diehard locals who are friendly. that will show you their secret stashes, that will take you places you would never discover on your own. And this is what you experience there. And look, all you got to do is pull into the bar, the rack, right at the base of the road, and you can find out all the intel you need on Sugarloaf right there. Just ask for Jeff Stump, Strunk,
I love
Jeff
that name.
Strunk, one of my good friends, and yeah, you're gonna love it.
You mentioned Bodie Miller, and so that leads me to another place that's always been one of my favorites ever since my dad told me about it as a kid. He used to go up there and tell me how cold it was, but he also told me about the tram, and that's Mighty Cannon, the living legend.
Look, if any of your listeners haven't Googled Dan Egan Cannon Mountain Tram yet, go do it right now, because I jumped out of the tram for Warren Miller in 1994, and it's a classic shot. Of course, you can find that on my YouTube channel, Jay. But what I love about Cannon, again, is history. Jean-Claude Keeley racing there in the World Cup in 1968. Paul and Paula Villar Ski School, classic, you know, elegant skiers there. And you have, you know, similar to Stowe, you've got the front four of Cannon. You've got Paulie's Folly, you've got Avalanche, you've got Zoomer, you know, and these are classic runs. And of course, off the top, you can ski Taff. And this is history, right? The first tram in the U.S., the trails that were cut by the CCC. This is really the birthplace of skiing, you know, in New England. And
one
of them. And it's such a place, you know, the New England Ski Museum is at the bottom, right? So you really get a sense of history there. There's a new general manager at Cannon making a boatload of snow right now. They're up and running. They've got great skiing. You've got good. The old ski area Mittersill has been revamped and revived.
Mittersill, of course.
It's got one of the greatest ski training places right now for the historic Franconia Ski Club. So, yeah, I mean, look, all these places, Jay, there's so much. Look, New Hampshire alone has 17 ski areas, 17 ski areas. Vermont, you know, so many ski areas. You hit on in Maine, you're talking about Sugarloaf, you're talking about Saddleback, you're talking about Thunder River, Pleasant Mountain, the list goes on. Look, you can make, and then you mentioned the Indy Pass. You can go to them all if you get the Indy Pass. So this is awesome, and there's no excuse not to get out there this year.
One last place before I let you go. I would be remiss if I did not bring up our beloved Sugarbush.
The Bush. You know, we love Sugarbush, and a lot of history there in the Egan family and a lot of history in general at Sugarbush. The beautiful thing about Sugarbush is the trail system. You know, a lot of ski areas in New England will claim old, you know, twisty, turny trails, but Sugarbush is what you think about when you think about those trails, when you think about, you know, skiing Stein's Run, when you think about skiing Jester, you know, these are trails that wind, twist, and dip through the woods, and you get a real sense for that. I love Sugarbush.
I used to like to do Battle with the Cliffs and Black Diamond over on the north side. I still call it Sugarbush North. I haven't used to calling it Mount Ellen yet.
Well, Mount Ellen, Sugarbush North, you know, those are classic trails. You're talking about Black Diamond, talking about Upper FIS, one of the hardest mogul runs in the planet. That's where I cut my teeth, chasing my older brother, trying to keep up. Knowing that I wouldn't get a hot chocolate if he was the one holding the money. So if I couldn't keep up with him, I would miss out. So look, the Sugarbush is a classic place, a lot of history. You've got a lot of culture there.
Especially at Castle Rock, the birthplace of extreme, where you and your brother cut your teeth for all those years.
Well, really, I mean, it's look, John Egan and Sugarbush are synonymous. They're together. John really put Sugarbush on the world map, along with Siggy and the other greats that came through there, Doug Lewis and others that came through Sugarbush. Of course, Darren Rawls racing at Sugarbush with GMVS, AJ Kitt racing at Sugarbush at GMVS. It's a long history, long, proud history of success with Sugarbush. It's known for its snow. It's known for its trees. It's known for its moguls. It's known for its racers. And look, this is just one more place where there's community. I mean, today's the day with, again, with your icon pass, why aren't you there already? That's what I say.
Exactly. And I'm hearing wonderful things about the snow there too. Dan, it was great having you on the show. I can't wait to shred with you. It won't be long. I'll definitely be seeing you in Lake Placid come March, but who knows? Okay. If you're hanging out on the west side of the country long enough, I may be able to catch up with you.
Come on up here and see me in Big Sky Jay. You know, everybody out there, all your listeners, get out there and.
If I can get up there without having to drive at night, I'll do it. And I'll bring music with me, music and videos.
Bring your guitar and take an Uber.
Take care, and I'll talk to you soon. Everybody, Dan Egan, extreme skiing pioneer and Hall of Famer. I'm Jay Flama. You've been listening to Jay Flama Sports Report on iHeartRadio and Golf News Net.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.